A shareholder revolt at Toshiba could ignite a sea change in Japanese corporate culture. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Shareholders at the Japanese tech company voted today to oust Chairman Osamu Nagiyama. That's after an independent investigation accused him of working with Japan's trade ministry to block overseas shareholders from gaining influence on the company's board. Back in April, Toshiba's chief executive resigned over a scandal, and now the twin resignations could begin to turn the tide of Japanese corporate governance, as the BBC's Mariko Oya explains.
The decision came as a surprise because I think a lot of people were expecting him to survive the vote. And that's partly because a lot of the activist investors were calling for his resignation, but the domestic investors weren't exactly convinced. But this vote basically shows that some of those domestic investors in Japan actually agreed with those activist investors who are based abroad. So even though they're known as foreign investors, they're actually Japanese. And the fact that they can actually communicate in Japanese with some of those domestic investors meant that they could actually convince some of them this decision was a good one.
So what does this mean for Toshiba itself, though? Because supporters of Mr. Nagiyama say it will set the firm further back, depriving it of leadership at a time of crisis.
Indeed. And I think, you know, his supporters would argue that he became the chairperson in mid-2020 after this alleged incident, and therefore he had nothing to do with the actual incident. Of course, his critics argued the fact that he resisted a call for an independent investigation into that incident was enough for him to take responsibility and step down. You know, all those scandals have really damaged the company's reputation. And if they want to rebuild trust among shareholders and consumers and so on, I guess they felt like they needed to push the chairperson out.
Any clues yet who may step in to the leadership vacuum at Toshiba now?
There have been a couple of names floating around, but no clear, obvious sign. It is very crucial for the company to rebuild its reputation and, you know, find a way out of this crisis. So definitely a lot at stake on the new leader, whoever they decide to choose.
The BBC's Mariko Oi. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
Well, Toshiba shares closed down 0.6% today. Checking some other numbers, European benchmarks are trading just below record levels. Shares of Swiss bank Credit Suisse have jumped more than 2%. That's after Reuters reported it's mulling a merger with UBS. Do you read online reviews before you hit that buy button? I definitely do, even for very small things like my dog's hiking water bottle. But that feedback mechanism has become crucial for a lot of shoppers. They're not always from paying customers, though, and sometimes multiple reviews are submitted to drive up or down an overall product rating. The UK's competition watchdog launched an investigation into fake online reviews last year, and today it's launched a formal probe naming Amazon and Google as companies of particular concern. The BBC's Katie Prescott has that story.
Britain's Competition and Markets Authority is worried big tech firms aren't doing enough to check suspicious reviews. It's concerned about practices like users putting up multiple posts about the same product ranges at similar times, and reviewers being paid to write positive comments. If it finds evidence firms aren't doing enough to protect customers, the watchdog could take enforcement action, such as fines. In response, Amazon pushed back, saying it is relentless in protecting its store and will take action to stop fake reviews, regardless of the size or location of those who attempt the abuse. In London, I'm the BBC's Katie Prescott for Marketplace.
Well, since Katie sent us that report, Google has told the BBC it clearly states reviews must be based on personal experience and that it will cooperate with the Competition Markets Authority. South Africa's rooibos tea is now in the same league as champagne, feta, and Irish whiskey. It's the first food from Africa to be given protected designation of origin approval by the European Union. That status means that rooibos tea can only come from two regions outside Cape Town. Marthein Swart from the South African Rooibos Council explains how farmers will benefit.
So apart from the protection of the product, for the industry and the people who work with the product, there's definitely also a benefit that the PDO logo is very well recognized in both the UK and the EU. I certainly think there is a potential for a greater demand now that we have the PDO, but where the plant is cultivated is a sensitive environmental area. So this is also why we registered the geographic indication, or as we refer to it in short, the GR, to look after the environment and make sure that sustainability of production and looking after the environment is entertained equally in our decision on growing the industry.
How big of a problem is fraudulent use of the rooibos tea name in other places? In other words, tea that isn't produced in that region, how often is that used?
So we had an instance quite some time ago where people registered the word rooibos as a trademark in the USA and then were asking royalties for people to use. So this was addressed. The same almost happened in France. In some countries abroad, you do from time to time get reports of, I bought this packet of tea from consumers. I believe this to be rooibos, but after tasting it, I'm not entirely sure. So then they send it on to us. We test it and we see whether it is indeed rooibos. So yes, we certainly have isolated incidences, but I won't describe it as a big threat.
So with this success with this EU designation, will you look to other places like the WTO for wider, more global recognition?
Certainly. So we're already liaising with the WTO to get an international harmonized systems code for rooibos. We want to hook onto this then also to see if there's opportunity for us to register an international GI.
Fascinating stuff. Marthane Swart from the South African Rooibos Council. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Victoria. Have a good morning.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.